what these different modalities and practices are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what our philosophy on Healing Quest is that healing is a lifelong journey toward wholeness. Wonderful. And that part of what we have, and, you know, my big thing is that we all need to really be our own best advocate for our health. We have to take responsibility for our own well-being, mm-hmm. and get involved. And you can't turn it over to your doctor or your practitioner, but you know, you're like the CEO of your body, your health and your body, you know. And so what we do is we provide options and choices, and we give people a little taste of the things that are out there that could help them.
Wonderful. Now, given that you're covering different healing practices from all over the world and interviewing different kinds of doctors and practitioners, I'm just curious, like on a TV show, how do you cut through the jargon of something that is foreign?
Well, that's
yet healing.
That's a great question, and it's been a challenge. Mm-hmm. And when we first started, I mean, I've been interested in this space and in wanting to, you know, do a television show in this space for over 20 years. And I was a little bit ahead of my time. Mm. And I think the timing now is really, really right, because, you know, the wellness industry is, you know, a $1 billion industry. People are really starting to pay attention to the fact that our healthcare system is really kind of broken, and we need to kind of get involved in how we can take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the integrative approach certainly works. It is a challenge to tell stories. That's why we use a lot of pictures, and we try to see people getting the treatment. We always show the practitioners doing that. I'll give you an example. In the first season, we did a story on guided imagery with Dr. Marty Rossman, who was here in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. who was the founder of the Academy for Guided Imagery. I don't know if he's ever been on your show, but he's a wonderful man.
Not yet.
Yeah.
We should get him on the show.
We should get him on the show. But, you know, so guided imagery is something that it's not like hypnotherapy. Or mm-hmm. something where you're actually giving people the images, but you're letting them come up with their own images. Mm-hmm. So we see somebody basically on a table and a doctor talking to them. Well, that's, you know, not that visual. I mean, once you see that for, you know, a few seconds, you kind of get what's happening there. Mm-hmm. So the challenge is how do we tell the story in an interesting way? And we went into her guided imagery was that she was a breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And one mm-hmm. of the ways in which she got through her chemotherapy was to use the guided imagery. And she had this image of a fireboat that went in and just, you know, got rid of all of the cancer cells. So we went and we shot the fireboat down in the bay and,
interesting.
You know, and really tried to put those images, you know, create those images so that you could see what her process was.
Right.
So, yes, you're right. It is a challenge, but, you know, we figured out ways to do it.
But it's also interesting because it, you know, for the first timer, for example, if I were going in for guided imagery for the first time and didn't know what it was, having watched the show, it might give me an idea as to how to relax into the session and...
Absolutely.
Get into mm-hmm. it.
Yes.
By the way, for those who just tuned in, we're talking with Judy Brooks, who is the founder of an acclaimed TV series called Healing Quest, and we're talking all about that show today for those just tuning in to us on KPOO.
Wonderful. So, Judy, tell us, how did you come to be the creator and founder and co-host of Healing Quest?
Well, I'd have to say that I have to give a lot of credit to how this came to be to my partner and husband, Roy Walkenhorst, who has kind of took my vision. He's been in the television business for forever and a journalist and came out of news and then started a company called News Travel Network where they produce travel programming. And I kind of watched him over, you know, a 20-year period create this wonderful News Travel Network, and what they did is they shot travel shows all over the world and created a huge library. At the end of the day, it was probably the largest library of travel footage in the world. And what they did is they sliced and diced that footage in a lot of different ways. So there were daily reports, and there were weekly shows, and there were shows for Discovery, and there were shows for the Travel Channel, and all this. And we had the lucky event of that company or the parent company going public in 1997. And so I kind of said, took him to lunch and said, you know, I watched what you did with this. And what I really want to do is to create a library of facts and footage in the integrative health and well-being space. And if we set out to do that, and that's our intention, you know, I think we want to start with a show, and probably the only place that we're going to get a show like this on the air is PBS. Mm-hmm. We took it to PBS, and the people there that shepherded the projects, you know, at first they were very reluctant because we're going back now like 5 or 6 years ago. And we've seen a, I'm sure, you know, you've seen a big growth in this in just the last 5 years in the interest.
Of course. Of course. Just within my field, which is Ayurvedic medicine, there's booming interest and just increase in awareness. So you're right.
Right. So he, you know, he said, you know, I want to support your dream and I want to do this. And so we started Lightbridge Media back in 1998.
And where is that based?
And that was based in San Francisco. And about 3 years ago, we moved to Sonoma because that was a personal life choice. I was just kind of ready to be out of the city. And also in creating a show like this, I felt that I, you know, really needed that personal sanctuary that the country offers.
Okay.
So it was a personal lifestyle choice. So we're based in Sonoma.
Okay, wonderful.
It's also nice to have the creator in a nice tranquil place so that she can help to bring that energy to the rest of us who might not be living in a place like that. So
Absolutely.
It's good to have the teacher balanced to teach the rest of us.
Exactly.
It was essential.
Well, I'm glad that you actually recognize that and bring it out there, you know, that it was essential. I think that's very important, actually, because I think it goes back to sort of practicing what you preach, you know, that little old adage that we have.
Absolutely.
You know, trying to sort of create the order in this chaos that we live in.
Absolutely.
So, Judy, your background, are you a practitioner?
Well, yes, I am. I'm trained as an alchemical hypnotherapist and as a Reiki therapist. And those were two modalities that just appealed to me, you know, sort of instantly. I heard them and intuitively I knew that that was something that I could do and that I wanted to do.
Right.
But my background has been mostly in the media. I've worked my whole career in the media. So.
So I have to ask, because I'm a Reiki practitioner and my husband's a hypnotherapist, but he's a clinical and medical hypnotherapist. So I'm very curious, what is an alchemical hypnotherapist?
Well, it deals a little bit more on the emotional level. We also, you know, can work in the clinical realm as well, but I think it really gets into, you know, turning, it's alchemy. And so it's a little more magical, I guess, in that regard, in that you really get into the emotional fitness.
Mm. Great. That sounds wonderful.
It does indeed. So, Healing Quest, tell us, what can we find here?
Well, Healing Quest, actually, we have been on KQED, and right now, we will be back on KQED, but I just don't have the exact time yet. But starting on February 5th, you can see the show on KCSM-TV, Channel 60, here in the Bay Area, at 5:30 p.m. That's Sundays at 5:30 p.m.
So that would be the first episode of
the second season.
Of the second season.
And that first episode will be featuring Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is a heart surgeon on the East Coast
in
Columbia
York.
Presbyterian.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's kind of become very popular because he's one of Oprah's favorite dogs. So, you can't go wrong there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe he was out in the Bay Area recently.
Yes.
Last year.
Mm-hmm. He has you know, a couple of books out. And he's founded the integrative program at Columbia Presbyterian.
Okay. So are we going to see him in surgery, or is that a surprise?
Well, we're going to actually see him and talk to him. We're going to talk to a couple of his patients that had open heart surgery, and coming out in preparation for the open heart surgery, they did guided imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of the open heart surgery, they were doing cranial sacral massage and Zen Shiatsu massage with them to reduce the pain medication they were taking.
Wow.
Really actually coming right out of open heart surgery.
That's amazing.
Right. So I had an opportunity to talk to two of his patients. And so it's very interesting. And to see this happening in like a big mainstream hospital in New York City.
How old are these patients?
I think they're both in their 50s.
In their 50s.
And they were new to all of this. It wasn't like they came in and said, well, listen, doctor, you know, I'm interested in integrative health and I want to incorporate this. No, he introduced these concepts to them.
Great.
So, yeah, you'll have to tune in to see what they had to say about it.
Wonderful.
Quick question on that. Who is the show geared towards? There's, of course, preaching to the choir, which is Renita and I, and then there's the people that know nothing about this. What's your aim? What's your audience you're targeting?
Thank you for asking that. Our target audience is the mass, you know, the masses, you know, the people that may not already know about this. Mm-hmm. We are on PBS, and so a lot of people that do find the show, you know, may already have an interest in this. But our hope is to, I mean, our intention, let me say very clearly, is to become a trusted guide in the mass media, not only on television, but on radio and live events. Because there's a lot out there, as you both know, and I think that there's a lot of wonderful things out there, and then there are things out there that aren't so good. Now, we don't go out and debunk anybody, and we don't go out and tell those stories, and we really focus on the good work that's being done. And our objective and our aim is to educate. First of all, we're on television, so the first thing is to entertain them, mm-hmm. and then to educate them, and then to empower them. As I said, take responsibility for their own well-being. So we want to reach people that don't necessarily know about this.
I think that's so wonderful. That's really needed. That there's a huge middle range of people, you know, probably 70% of the population mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe have heard little things when a little seed might have been planted. So they'll turn the station and they'll see it. They'll be intrigued enough to watch it. But they probably haven't really seen any facts or any reality of how this might be applied to an ordinary person's life. And I think it's really amazing to see, because we all know, because we've been working in this field for a long time, how powerful the adjunct between modern medicine and these alternative therapies, how powerful that synergy can be. But I think a lot of times that alternative world has been painted into this sort of strange, inaccessible field, but to understand how they can work together and have that brought to the average person and how they could apply that in their life so that they're not going from their normal life to some radical new lifestyle, but how they can apply it daily can really make a huge difference in a big percentage of this population.
And just debunking the myths and the misnomers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when we're dealing with cultural global medicines, many people are looking at this as some strange, weird thing,
mm-hmm.
which might be foreign, but is not necessarily strange or weird. And there's a lot of translation and explanation and education, you know, that needs to happen. And seeing it in a visual medium, I mean, visual media is everything, right?
Mm-hmm. We make an excellent point. And I think that, you know, I'd like to say that one of the things that we do on Healing Quest is that we're very integrative. You know, you can go back a few years ago and everyone called this space, you know, alternative medicine. Then it was complementary medicine. Mm-hmm. And now it's integrative medicine. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, there are different schools of thoughts on all this. But let me say that we are not about not including allopathic medicine. I think it's very important that people, what would we do without Western medicine? I mean, mm-hmm. it's essential. We're about integrating that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ideally what I would like to see is people talking to their doctors about other things they can do to, whether it's nutrition, like the, you know, both of you, and or with Ayurvedic practices, mm-hmm. is how do you bring that in to a holistic program?
Right. Mm-hmm. And seeing doctors on this show that do integrate that, because I think right now there's probably this will allow other patients to maybe seek out a doctor that has a little bit of balance of both of those, because it might not be the first doctor they see that has that integrative approach. But to see that level-headed, normal, successful doctors can have that integrative approach and seek out a doctor that might have that for them. I remember, you know, when I first got into this world of complementary medicine, I thought that the Western medical model was the enemy. But obviously, I don't feel that way anymore. I was in the coffee shop the other day, literally just last week, and this poor woman collapsed, and she was in her 20s or 30s, and, you know, several of us kind of picked her back up, and she passed out again. And what did we do? We called 911, and a whole team of people came, and they did a blood sugar test, and they did a this and that. And I leaned over to my husband, and I said, "Western, you know, this is why Western medicine is so important." And, you know, now years later, I've come to a very integrated approach between those two things. And I think it's important not only not to alienate that group, but also to just show that we both are highly important. We need both groups to I think, to have a really holistic perspective on our health care. And so, you know, we really need to work together. So for people to be able to see that, that it's not some fringe off doing their own thing, but mm-hmm. that doctors will can integrate both of those worlds and really help their patients is, I think, a wonderful service that you're doing for the population.
Thank you. We focused a lot of stories in hospitals and institutions where that is happening because, quite frankly, we do want to reach the people, just like you're saying, that might have been afraid of this. I mean, my goal is that people are, if their doctor isn't interested in this and isn't open to this, that they see that there are other doctors out there that are and that they can find someone who will work with them
mm-hmm.
to create that holistic approach to wellness.
So does the show include sort of a referral list or a how to contact this doctor who's been interviewed?
Well, we have a website. Healing Quest. It's healingquest.tv. You can also get to us through .com, but it's healingquest.tv.
Okay.
And on the website, yes, you can get you can find out more about all of the doctors or practitioners that you saw on the show and get more information. Find out, you know, if we cite research on the show, that's also available on the website.
Oh, great.
So you were telling us about the first episode, and you interviewed Dr. Mehmet Oz. And what else do we find on that?
Well, the first episode actually is a good example of how we do manage to kind of get all over the world. I mean, we start with Dr. Mehmet Oz in New York, and then we go to Alaska for a story on wild Alaskan salmon and the benefits of omega-3 fatty acid.
Yeah.
And then we have a nutrition tip on spices, and that's a story that we did in Costa Rica. So, and then every episode of Healing Quest, we are very honored and fortunate to have Dr. Deepak Chopra as a regular on our show. So when you tune in, you're going to see him every week. And he brings us healing secrets. Mm. And one of the reasons that, you know, we're really excited about the fact that he's doing this, that he also really brings spirit to the show because he certainly is someone who is well-versed and educated in all the wisdom traditions, not just Ayurvedic, you know, which is his. Mm-hmm. His, okay. But he's also a But he's also a medical doctor, and he just brings so much hopefulness and good, you know, advice and suggestions. So we're very excited that he's part of the show.
He is my very first experience with alternative or complementary medicine was reading one of his books. And actually, I read the first book, and then I read a couple other books of his, and then I went and I found myself an Ayurvedic practitioner. And that was my very, very first sort of alternative healing modality. Yes, he is amazing. And his energy is so grounded and calming. He's a great example of living by example. Right. So I can imagine he would be a great person to have on the show.
Oh, he's a great person to have on the show. He's a great person to have in our life. Mm. You know, I'm very excited. And I'll tell you a little story about that. We met him in Washington, D.C. a few years ago where we were there getting an award. He was getting the big award, but we were getting an award from the Campaign for Better Health and just recognizing the work we were doing in integrative medicine. And we were on a media panel, and he was on the media panel, and there were several people that were that were on the panel with us. And when I got up to talk, I was talking about intention and how we had set intention, how I had set the intention around the very act of watching Healing Quest would be healing. I mean, I remember I said this to the guys at PBS, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Okay. Okay, Judy, whatever. But so I was talking about this when I sat down. Deepak leaned over and he said, you have no idea the power of intention. I mean, how amazing. I mean, once you set your intention, and I mean, how powerful that is in the world. And I mean, he wasn't saying I have no idea, but he was saying, you know, it's just really powerful. So I thought, okay. So I set my intention in that moment that he would be a regular show.
Very good. Very good. Intention being the basis of psychic awareness and meditation, right?
Yes. And so it took a little while, but that happened. And so, you know, I every time intention comes up, you know, I tease him. Yeah, you know, I set my intention.
On you.
Now you're here. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
It's great.
So the show was given an award from the Campaign
for Better Health
for Better
in Washington, D.C., which is the campaign to educate people about what's out there in the integrative field. And it's you know, Dr. Andrew Wiles on their board, and Deepak and Christian Northrup. And so we were in good company. And it was very, it was just fun, and it was exciting. And it was, you know, have those moments in life when you, you know, let me just also say that doing this has had a lot of challenges, you know, and it hasn't been easy to get this show on the air. First of all, because of what it's about, because it's still new to a lot of people, even though, you know, we all are into this, and a large percentage of the population, but it's still foreign. I mean, and so in those moments when you go, okay, you know, it's like something like that. It's not that we do things to be recognized, but when we are, it's really good to take that in and go, okay, I'm on the right path. Right. I'm doing the right thing.
Right.
<here."
laughs>
It's interesting to hear that. So because of the space or the subject, there might have been resistance to having this been put on the air. Is that...
Well, if you look at what's on television today,
yes,
which I hope a lot of you aren't, but
we're aware it's not mostly like Healing Quest.
So there really aren't a lot of places. I mean, now people like Oprah, obviously she opened up this space, and she opened it up years ago, and she got, she really introduced a lot of these therapies, and she introduced Deepak to the world, you know, really, in his books, and. So she opened that, but you know, she did that within the format of once in a while. That would be, you know, something that she covered on her show. You have other shows. You know, we have a lot of radio out there that is dealing with this topic, and have been for a lot longer than a lot of the television. You'll get an occasional segment, maybe on 2020 or something. But quite frankly, a lot of times they're debunking. You know, they're not necessarily fans,
right?
You know, or whatever. So you get, you know, segments cropping up here and there, but you really, we are, as far as I know, the only national television show that deals only with this topic.
Wow. I mean, now that I think about it, that makes a lot of sense. I stopped watching 2020 when John Stossel was found to have fabricated information that organics, he was trying to say organics are not healthier. In fact, he said organics are worse for you because they're grown in manure or something, and that you could get foodborne. And then they found out that some of the research was fabricated. So that was the end of my 2020 experience about 5 years ago. So.
Goodness. Been living on manure for thousands of years.
I know.
Right. And we do. We actually, you mentioned organic. We did a wonderful story in Costa Rica on a farm in Costa Rica that is growing organic turmeric and ginger.
Mm.
And by doing this, they're also helping to save the rainforest. And I love that story because what happens is in the one of the owners of the farm and one of the founders of New Chapter, which is a supplement company.
Yeah, they're great.
And they're fabulous. And they are primarily organic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said this great line, which is, you know what, if you want to save the rainforest, vote with your fork.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you buy organic and you support the organic farmers, you're going to have more of that. You're going to have a lot less slashing and burning of the rainforest. I mean, you know, so somebody's saying, you know, gee, why should I donate money to save the rainforest? You know, they may not have connected that to themselves, you know, in terms of how does this really benefit me?
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they set the standard for organic, you know, turmeric and ginger, and they buy from many other farmers, rainforest farmers. So they are now sustaining. They made this a sustainable business for these farmers so that they have the option to grow organic instead of, you know, raising beef or slashing and burning.
Right. Which is such a short-term, you know, focus. And it is spreading. The coffee shop right by me sells all free trade or fair trade coffees and teas.
Right.
The whole and you can get organic milk. You can get any organic chocolate in your mocha if you're going to have one.
You have to.
So it's really exciting to think that entire, you know, that this is just really coming a long way. Like you said, in the last few years, it's taking off. So it's nice to see, again, your show bring further awareness to that. You know, we live in San Francisco, and I live a block away from this coffee shop, but there's a lot of people that live in Kansas or something that might not be that aware. So to be able to watch a show like this on Sunday evening.
Or whatever time it's on in their market.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is really a... Just a great new exposure for them to this information.
Well, absolutely,
we hope so.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's our plan, and that's in the second season. We expanded the show. I mean, we did market research on what we tried to learn from our first season, and what we had done is we had done a lot of stories in the first season about people that were actually really sick and had turned to some of these other these integrative therapies kind of as a last resort in some cases, and what we found is to open the show up and to make it more interesting to the masses, we wanted it to be more about prevention. So we're really a lot more about prevention in the second season, and that's why, you know, we have a lead story, and we have a second story, and then in every episode we have a nutrition tip. And then, as I was saying, we have Dr. Deepak Chopra, and then we have a minute meditation at the end of the show, which is a beautiful, beautiful nature footage by a wonderful cinematographer, David Fortney. And we just invite you to sit back and take a deep breath and enjoy this footage and just sort of integrate what you just saw and take it in.
Wow.
Fantastic.
If there were 1 minute of less commercials between every hour of TV, what a difference that would probably make in people's nervous system.
So how long is the show? How many minutes of the lead story?
The show is a half hour. And to your point of commercials, it's really interesting because, you know, we're on PBS, so what we have is underwriters. And those underwriters are embedded at the top of the show and at the end of the show. But you watch the show commercial-free, which is, you know, one reason why people do really like PBS, because you get that. They also really I think have a respect for the underwriters that sponsor shows on PBS, so they are allowed to watch their show uninterrupted. And getting those underwriters has been a challenge. I mean, when you asked me earlier, well, what are some of the obstacles to getting something like this on the air? It's like getting people to step up and underwrite a show like this.
But it sounds like it would be great advertising for them because they have the respect from the audience that they're allowing them to watch the show commercial-free, if not anything else.
It is. You know? You've been on our sales pitch.
yeah. Okay, you can hire me.
No, that's very true.
So I have to ask, as a nutrition consultant, tell us about these nutrition tips. What types of things do you have on?
Okay, well, we did a nutrition tip on spices. That was one of the stories that we did in Costa Rica, and what we found is that in America we have a real spice deficiency. Now I'd say like in India, Renita, you know, that's not the case.
No, but that's our basis for nutrition.
Right.
Exactly. But it's not here, you know. Yeah. So it was really interesting to find out that not only turmeric and ginger, but cinnamon and all you know, how we can just, if we, by adding a little bit of that into our life, how we can help with inflammation and all kinds of things, you know. So that's one example. We also, we did a story on wild Alaskan salmon, and we have covered the supplement field as well, because sometimes, an example, we did a story on calcium, and we interviewed Dr. Mary Hardy at UCLA and found out, you know, when do you supplement calcium? And one of the things that I was really surprised to hear in her recommendation was that you want to start supplementing, you know, young girls at a teenage, because they're not necessarily getting the calcium that they need to really have the strong bones and to support them later in life.
And that's when you basically build bone mass.
Right. And we know the teenage diet is not the best these days.
Exactly. You know, so, and then the other question I had, you know, she said, well, you know, we find that if someone's been supplementing calcium for 30 years, that they have, you know, a much greater chance of not having bone loss and not having osteoporosis or osteopenia. And so my question was, what if you haven't been taking calcium for the last 30 years? And she said, it's never too late. It's never too late. You know, you can always do that. And it's really good for women, you know, even postmenopausal, just to really be taking their calcium.
Sure. Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely. So that's great. That's so there's a nutritional tip in every episode like this that we could all benefit from.
Yes. I mean, another nutrition tip was just the benefit of color. You know, what are the different colors? And this would certainly speak to your tradition.
Yes.
You know, it's like
yes.
having a little bit of each color on your plate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, that's pretty easy.
How to define a balanced meal is not just fats, carbohydrates, and proteins, but, you know, these things, actually, the tastes and the colors and the aftertastes and the amount of spices. It reminds me of, I had a question come through just the other day, maybe a couple of days ago, from a client who I had given some nutritional advice, and she came back with a question saying, well, this, but what could I possibly season with? And I have to say my first thought was, what could you not season with? That's wonderful. So the lead story, is that always an interview with a doctor or...
Most of the time, but not always. The lead story, and by that I mean it's the first story, and it's usually 5 to 7 minutes. The second story is usually, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. Well, about 5 minutes. Nutrition tips are, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. Dr. Chopra is a 3 minute piece.
And is he guiding us through?
Well, an example, you know, he talks about many things. You know, okay. In one of the shows, he talks about the benefits of meditation and what, you know, and now if you can only do one thing, do that.
Right.
You know, if that's the one thing you're going to do, then meditation would be the thing that he would recommend. He also talks about about aging. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean? And that we're not really our biological age. There's so many other factors to take in. I loved, he said, you know, you can turn back your biological clock by about 15 years. And a lot of that has to do with your mindset and, you know, how much life you have in your life.
Right.
You know, I mean, are you still falling in love? Are you still, you know, are you still learning? Are, you know, what are the things that keep you young? And, you know, obviously fitness and exercise and, you know, nutrition and all the things that we know. But so much of it is the power of positive thinking.
Absolutely. My husband always says, well, yes, I'm 40, but I'm younger than most people my age.
And he's right. So he's probably turning back his biological clock. Even Deepak says that when he's exercising, you know, when you know on the equipment and you can put in your age, he puts in the age that he is psychologically.
Great.
Oh, I see.
That's great.
That's great. That is wonderful.
And then you mentioned meditation, and just because I have Renita here and she gave me great advice one time, I thought I would share that with everybody. Okay. I have a challenging time with meditation because I have trouble getting away from my busy life and my brain going 1,000 miles an hour and sitting there and this thing the strict definition I have of what meditation is. So Renita helped me realize that anything can be a meditation and you can do it anytime. So if I'm walking to my car, instead of racing to my car, I can watch every step that I'm taking, and I, you know, sometimes I'll envision kind of being grounded. Every step I take is like roots into the earth. Or if I'm working on, I took up knitting because I thought, well, this is a nice thing I can do that's really relaxing and I can just focus on. So it's more of just, for me, it really helped me to just think of just really focusing on what I'm doing and breathing and relaxing. And that can be when you're chopping vegetables, when you're cooking dinner. It can be a whole variety of things. If quote, sitting for 30 minutes is agony for you, then meditation can take on so many other forms.
Absolutely.
So I've employed that in my life, and it has worked wonders. Thank you.
Great. You're most welcome. I'm happy to hear it. Judy, you are going to be on the Learning Annex soon, from what I hear.
Right. I'm going to be teaching at the Learning Annex on February 22nd here in San Francisco.
And where?
Downtown. I'm not exactly sure what the location is, but you can find out more about it by going to the learningannex.com and also calling them at 415-788-5500. And I think that their schedule right now is for January, and they don't actually start to post the February schedule until around the 1st of February. But you can check that out. And I'm going to be talking about how to pitch your stories, for all your practitioners out there or people that want to find out how to get their story into the media, whether it be on television or radio, or how do you go about doing that?
That's great.
It's a practitioner field trip.
Yes. it's a service that so many of us could really use because we have all these great ideas, but we aren't experts in that, and we don't know how to do it. So our information doesn't ever go anywhere except for the people that come to us. So that's a really great.
When they asked me to do this, it was like, you know, what do you want to talk about? You can talk about anything you want. But what I found is that a lot of people ask me that, just what you said. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, how do I get my story on? You know, what do I have to do? And what are the criteria, at least for us and other people, of what makes a good story? And just how you pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a fabulous story, but if you're not sure how to convey that story to someone, you know, you might not get the outcome that you're looking for.
Right? Yeah, and some people don't even know where to start, so it's just such a new area. They don't do anything that I wouldn't even know where to go, who to call. I would know nothing that I think I would be stuck there.
Well, the quintessential practitioner is focused on their practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what makes them an expert at their practice.
Exactly. So I think this is sort of very useful.
Yes.
To the mass of practitioners that we have here.
And then there's some wonderful practitioners in the Bay Area.
So. You said that was February 22nd?
February 22nd. Right. I think it's 6:45 to 9:30. And, I'm sorry, I don't know the location. I know it's downtown San Francisco. I don't have the address. Mm-hmm. But
I'm sure people can find it by going to learningannex.com.
Yes. That's right.
Is that something you teach regularly? Or
not really. They called me because they saw my column in Alternative Medicine magazine, and so they called and said, "Would you like to teach something?" And, mm-hmm. and we'd love to have you at the Learning Annex. And what do you want to talk about? So I gave them a couple of ideas of things that could be of interest, and they kind of thought that was they liked the idea of pitching the story. So
what's your column in Alternative Medicine magazine?
Well, that's exciting for me because I've always been in the visual medium or in mm-hmm. radio. I mean, I've never really done anything in print. So I have a monthly column in Alternative Medicine magazine, and they've titled it Inspirations. It's fun to kind of have an editor to work with. And mm-hmm. Renita, I know you know this because mm-hmm. you're an author and writing a book, and mm-hmm. what that entails, right? So creatively, it's been a fun challenge. I think in pictures because mm-hmm. I'm used to producing for television. And even in writing, I'm like, the words I use are not necessarily like I'm talking, but like you're seeing something.
Exactly.
So I think that's another thing that I would say to anybody out there. It's like creatively, it's always really good to stretch. So mm-hmm. this has been a nice stretch for me to do this. And one of the things that I'll be talking about are, what's going on in Healing Quest and in January I talked about intention. In February it's on relationships. And in March I'm going to start really just kind of doing some of the interviews that I've done with doctors and a little bit more in depth than what I might be able to do on the show.
Talking about them in print.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's in Alternative Medicine magazine every month, and people can pick that up.
They can pick that up at the newsstand, anywhere. Or they can go to healingquest.tv and go into the Alternative Medicine magazine, which is on the front page, and they can subscribe.
Oh, great.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So you are a lady of many talents, clearly.
Well, thank you. I think I'm very blessed with a very full and creative life. Also, mm-hmm. we have four children and grandchildren. And,
wonderful.
I think it's about balance, which is part of the reason to move to Sonoma.
Absolutely. Are you, you're airing the second season right now.
Yes.
And what does that mean? Are you shooting the third season, or?
Yes, I'm in pre-production right now in the third season. So mm-hmm. we will be back in production shooting probably within the next month.
What is pre-production?
Pre-production means that I'm selecting the stories that I'm going to be doing for the next season right now.
Okay.
And I'm assuming you have people that handle, who does the camera?
Not us. That's the one thing I'm not, as a techie. And I have a hard time even getting my VCR to work. I hate to admit that. No, we have crews that work with us.
Wow.
And writers and producers. So,
great.
Yeah.
So will you be doing global travel again for the third season?
I'm not sure. I don't have anything on the schedule right now, but I know we'll be doing several things, across the U.S. So,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful. I hope so, because we haven't done that in a few years, a couple of years. So, personally, I would like to do that.
Yeah. Mm. I just got back from India. I had a wonderful holiday season there, and I think I have enough fuel to keep going for the next more than this year, because I managed to see, I was on a mission, of course, 4 tigers in the wild.
Wow.
And in the national park that I went to, it's kind of a shame that you even call it a national park now. It was once just the open. When, mm-hmm. when I speak with my elders and my parents, you know, they took this stuff for granted when they were in boarding school. They were all around, and, you know. They say, well, why are you getting so excited? And it's there are 26 left in this national park.
Wow.
And guests go, tourists go. Many of them stay for days, going out on jeep safaris morning and afternoon, never see anything. And we managed to see four, you know, in a span of 3 days. So I was feel very blessed. And I just wonder if, you know, that kind of story or subject or other things like that environment, like world environment, you know, are part of Healing Quest's mission.
Yes. As I said, you know, we went to Costa Rica and we, you know, we really feel that healing the environment, healing the planet is essential to healing ourselves. I mean, we're all connected. You can't separate them. You know, mm-hmm. it's like I think we need to start with ourselves, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you're probably not going to have the interest to look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be healthy first,
right.
to be able to do that. But yes, I mean, the health of the planet is essential, and it's very much a part of our mission.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, to be able to see four tigers. That's
was
just
amazing. It was truly amazing. And, you know, coming back to what you were talking about, meditation, you know, when one goes to these national forests, I think the attraction is the tiger, and that's what everyone's looking to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're on a mission. Everybody is. But the drive through the forest at that hour in the morning, I mean, is so therapeutic and meditative in itself that, you know, even if you don't spot a single everything else in the environment, the nature, the harmony, and stopping there to spend the time just watching the grass move or watching, you know, the warning signals of the animal to see if there is a predator coming. It is so meditative.
Wow,
and
yes.
Therapeutic in itself. I would love to see that on Healing Quest.
Well, as you're describing it, I think that, you know, what that reminds me of is that what that does is it puts you really in the moment, and the moment is really all we have.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it brings you really present.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. I think that, you know, for all of us, that's a challenge. We have so many things going on in our active, busy lives. It's like just staying present in the moment, and, you know, in this moment things are really good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
and living from that place.
Right,
know?
Absolutely.
Well, it's so great to have you on today.
Thank you.
We have about a couple minutes left, and you had mentioned something to me before we started about how to stay positive in these difficult times, and I'm wondering if you have any last-minute thoughts on that, because I know it's a topic that a lot of people, including myself, struggle with at times, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you know what? What I just said, I think that for me, you know, staying positive in challenging times, and I also think that we're all living in the challenging times, whether it's what's going on the planet right now. There's certainly a lot of fear, and you can either buy into that, mm-hmm. go down that road, or you can stay focused in just really what are the positive things that are happening in your life, and to do an inventory of, you know, what's good. And and where you put your energy, where you put your attention is what it is for me, sets your intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I find for myself that what happens when I'm challenged, or I could go into that place of, oh my goodness, you know, this isn't happening the way I thought, or I could go down that slippery slope,
mm-hmm.
and stay there. Or I can count my blessings. And I think that counting our blessings is something that, you know, we need to do every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Healing Quest has such positive, wonderful stories of easy things that you can do using spices, the benefits of these types of therapies. So that's another nice little half hour.
Just the meditations in
nature. Yeah,
you know,
that little half hour vacation on TV that's so rare these days.
So I'm looking forward to this. Tell us again.
We'll be on February 5th,
mm-hmm.
and that is on KCSM Channel 60 at 5:30 p.m. on Sundays. And KQED will be airing the show again, and you just I would suggest just call KQED and ask them, or, you know, go to their website and find out when we're scheduled. We're just, like, in between right now, so I don't know when we'll be back on with them. And I wish I did have that information, but I don't. But you can call KQED and find out. And as a matter of fact, we would like it if you did. And if for any of you out there that have been viewers and that have seen the show in the past, you know, we really appreciate it. I want to say that it matters when programmers and stations hear from the viewers that they like the show, because often what happens is you hear from viewers when they don't like something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one person calling and saying they like it or they want to see it is probably represents 1,000,
mm-hmm.
because most people mm-hmm. won't do that.
Right.
And, you know, so I think that, and we've gotten great response from viewers. It's been heartwarming, and that on days when, you know, I've been having a tough day or whatnot, you know, it just seems like the universe will send me an email from a viewer mm-hmm. saying, thanks, this is exactly what I needed to hear, or it's going to help my mother, or it's going to help, you know. And it's like, and those, and that's another thing, is to focus on the positive things that are happening in your life and pay attention to what the universe is sending you in terms of messages.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So we had a couple people just trying to call in. So why don't you, if you can give your website information again, if they weren't able to get all the information they needed, people can go to your website and look it up.
Okay, great. It's healingquest.tv, and that's healingquest.tv. And and if you go to .com, you'll get to us too, but I think, you know, just go to, and yeah, that's it. And
all
you
right.
can also, you know, pick up Alternative Medicine Magazine and
great.
Check that out.
Find you through there.
Judy Brooks, thank you for being on today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and it's a fast hour. And thank you both for the work that you're doing. It's really appreciated. I'm sure your listeners are very appreciative to have both of you here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant. You're listening to Reality Sandwich on KPOO.
And this is Renita Malhotra-Hora, resident Ayurveda clinician, also on the same show, wishing you goodbye and, again, all the best for the year to come.
Stay tuned, and you can find more information on this show and past shows at healthfullivingsf, as in San Francisco, .com. Stay tuned every week at noon.